David, are you having problem? Hello? Hello, hello?
I'm here.
Yeah. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, Alex?
I can hear you, but we're supposed to be muted.
Okay. Obviously, the lines are not muted. People are coughing and everything else. I need everyone, please, to stop listening right now and hit *6 on your phone.
By the way,
okay.
Cecil's on the line.
All right, Cecil. Thanks. Okay, it sounds like that cured the problem. The line sounds great now. So can you hear me? Alex, go ahead and unmute your line and just let me know if you can hear me now, please. Can you hear me? Alex.
Dave, we can hear you.
You can hear? Okay, good. Anyway, so for the future of this meeting, if you want to unmute your line and participate in the conversation, hit *6. So the lines sound really good. They sound really quiet right now, so I think we're good to go. Sorry for the delay there, but we're good to go now. One of the most underutilized tools that we have at the corporate office for you guys to use is basically our Skype or webcam training. Sean's been hosting some webcam training sessions, and as always, I mean, it's just fantastic results. So Sean is actually going to talk to you guys just briefly about how easy the setup is and some recent webcam training sessions he's had, who he's had them with, and what kind of tooling that he's trained on. Sean, could you talk just for a minute about how easy it is to set up and kind of some steps involved without getting too detail-oriented? It's some basic general steps.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, guys, what you need to do is download Skype. You should be able to go to their website and download it for free. You're also going to need a webcam or a laptop with a webcam on it. Usually the remote webcams work a little bit better. I trained Bo Smith a couple weeks ago, and he had to keep moving the whole laptop around in order to show me the handpiece that he was working on. So maybe the plug-in type of webcam would be better. We have a Logitech. It's fully controllable by the computer, up, down, left, right. You can zoom in and out. So you need to use Skype, and you need a webcam. And the username for us, you have to put in a username or a phone number to get a hold of the person that you want to Skype with. Ours is tdc.tech, and that's it. It's pretty easy to set up and get going with. But, with the Skype, we can train you. I just trained Bob Bacalar yesterday on 25 LPAs and LHAs. We ran through a couple of those. It took about an hour and a half to 2 hours. I sent him our training hand pieces. He already had all the tools and just walked him through how to disassemble and the basic overhaul and reassemble of the hand pieces. So with the Skype and the webcam and our training hand pieces we'll send you, it makes it pretty easy to learn how to repair the cable electrics. Does anybody have any questions?
I have one before the guys get going, Sean, and that is, in general, how long do you think it takes to download that Skype or get Skype going on your computer if you don't have it?
It'd be a complete guess. It was already on this computer when I got it, so I mean... downloading time, I can't see it taking much more than a couple minutes.
Okay, so, and you can probably walk guys through kind of the process if they need your help in that area?
Yeah, when you download it, I mean, it asks for a username and password. You can use your Facebook account or Microsoft account if you have one of those to log into it also. And the Skype, I mean, it requires an email, an email or somebody's account name or number to put in, just like you would a phone number for a text or an email to send an email to somebody. It's your identification code, and it'll find you based on that. Like Bob, I didn't have Bob, so I had to call him, and he set up his account, and his username was Bob Bach, and then 19 something, some numbers, and it only came up with one, and it had his picture, so I knew it was him. So, it's pretty easy to find somebody on there.
Okay, awesome. I think many guys have Skype already set up because they talk to their grandkids or their kids on them, and they use it for that. I was just talking to Sue Stanfield about the meeting today, and she said, oh, yeah, that's great. She already has it. She talks to her grandkids and her kids on Skype all the time. So instead of using the phone half the time, she uses Skype a la, you know, the Jetsons, where they get to look at each other and talk to each other instead of being over the phone. So I have a feeling that many of the guys already have it set up. They're just using it, you know, for personal and family-ish stuff rather than
right.
for business. But it's a great tool there, too.
Absolutely. It's very easy to use, easy to operate, and as long as you type in our username properly, like I said, it's tdc.tech, T-E-C-H, you should be able to find us no problem.
Okay, and what I'll do, Sean, I'll get with you right after this meeting, and I'll email that out to everybody so that they have our address. So as soon as they log on to Skype, they can type that in and maybe save it as one of their favorites.
Yep, that'll work. And it's always signed in, so even if you have a quick question, it's no big deal to get a hold of us on there. The same with the phone. It's easy to get a hold of us on there. So.
And a picture paints 1,000 words. They could sit there for 10 minutes trying to describe to you, Sean, what handpiece they have or what attachment. You know, many of them are unmarked or they're so old you can't even read what brand it is. They could just send you a quick picture or vid via Skype and you'll know exactly what they've got.
Absolutely.
And one of our biggest frustrations, or one of the biggest frustrations that Sean and Bud have out there, guys, is when you call after you've broken something.
Yeah.
If you've got something that you're not sure how to disassemble, especially if there's water lines and fiber optics involved, that is just an automatic for using the Skype technology to have Sean walk you through the disassembly without bending those water lines or breaking those optics. I think it was Tim Anderson in Arizona was disassembling an X95L, and it wasn't until after, you know, the water lines and the fiber optics were broken that, you know, that he gave Sean and Bud a call. So please, whenever running into those situations, call us prior to the disassembly. It may just be a two-sentence tech tip from Sean or Bud that gets you through that disassembly and saves you, you know, in Tim's case, you know, $150 or $200 or so. So please take advantage of that. Any questions for Sean, guys, on the Skype? Before we move on, guys, any questions for Sean on Skype? Remember, you can hit *6 on your phone to unmute your line.
Yeah, David,
yeah.
Or Sean, when you do call, when you want to get a hold of somebody, would you call them on the phone first and say you're going to send them, open up a, you know, do Skype?
You can. Like I said, normally the Skype is always logged on. So if you call the Skype from your computer, it rings on the computer just like it would ringing your cell phone by calling the office type deal.
Okay.
So, you know, the Skype's always logged in. All you have to do is call us, and it'll ring, and I can answer it if I'm sitting at my desk. If I'm not, then it'll ring until it's blue in the face.
Okay. Sounds good.
Well, that's great. I did not know that. Great question, Cecil. So you can be sitting there working on a handpiece, Sean, and your computer will make some noise and let you know someone's calling you on Skype, huh?
Yeah, it'll ring. I mean, it doesn't sound like a phone, but it rings very similar to the way that a phone would. A prompt will pop up, and it'll ask you to answer it or decline it or put it on hold.
Awesome. Anybody else, guys? Questions for Sean on that? Okay, well, we'll move on, guys, but please take advantage of that Skype technology. It'll save you time and money, and it could save you some customers, too, depending on the repair and the timeliness of the turnaround. The second thing I kind of talked about just briefly in the email I sent out regarding today's TDC Connected meeting was the new tooling. We've got tooling available like crazy these days. I mean, it seems like everything that we've wanted for years and years is finally being made and manufactured, and we have it on the shelf. I'll just go through a quick list. For instance, latch head punch sets for those Kava 68 LDN, LH, LU latch heads. The new RDH nose assembly tool, I sent an email out to all of you guys a couple of days ago. Only had two people ask for that tool, so I was a little surprised. I know a lot of you guys run into those RDHs, and we get calls all the time on how to get those nose assemblies back in the housing safely without scratching up the housing. So if you guys run into RDHs at all, that tool is pretty invaluable. We also have the RDH disassembly and assembly tool for the back end and the motor. We've got the Kevo 181K nose assembly tools, the Kevo L and LN disassembly tools. We've got that new Slinger installation tool. I think it was Don Billings who told me that was by far his favorite tool and the best one we've ever offered you guys for installing those slingers on the front of the Stars. And, of course, it works as a Slinger installation tool for, I think, everything else as well. I've got the Sirona back cap tools. We just got the Kevo 6500 head reamer, the Kevo 25 LHA, that spray cover. We've got that removal and disassembly, assembly and disassembly tool. One of the big things that we had on back order with a lot of you guys was the rubber strips. After having those on order for probably 5-plus weeks, we did finally get those in, so a lot of you guys will be getting that. Regarding the W&H couplers, that ring that breaks, that cracks that holds the W&H couplers onto the hand pieces there. We've got that coupler ring tool. We've got an internal attachment tool for the W&H and also the high-speed manifold tool to get that apart if you want to change those internal O-rings to stop any water leaks you have internally. We've got the LHA and LPA tooling, the Kevo 10E and 20E tooling, and the W&H 3-notch back cap tool, large head and small head. Surprisingly, as many requests as we've really had for all those tools that I just listed, we've got a lot on the shelf, which means you guys either aren't aware that we have them or just for whatever reason haven't ordered them. Obviously, you don't have to, but it's all good stuff. Now, we took pictures. I had requests from guys, for info on those tools. So what Sean and Bud did is they took pictures of all of that tooling, put descriptions on it, and did insert it into your guys' Copilot. So when you get a chance, really take that Copilot, open it up to that tooling section, which is right behind the item price list in your Copilot, and just go through those pictures, see if there's anything there that you don't have on the shelf in your tooling, inventory or department that you may want. We've got all that tooling. It's frustrating when we get calls from you guys that have broken optics or really marred up housings and stuff on hand pieces, and it cost you, an $85 outer housing or something when you could have easily taken the thing apart with, a $20 tool. So,
David, I didn't have time to put that tool list in the Copilot before we handed them out. It's only available on TDCconnected.com.
Okay. Well, it is on really? So it's not in the Copilot?
That is correct.
Okay, guys. Sorry for that. It did. I did email it out, and it is on the TDC Connected website, so please log on to the TDC Connected website and print that out. It's only 4 pages long, so it's not going to take a ton of paper, a ton of ink, but just print out one copy, throw a few holes in it, and put it in your Copilot so you have it for reference.
And it's under the update tag at the top of the page.
And if you guys didn't hear that, Sean said it's under the update tab on the TDC Connected website. You can click on that, and you'll see that tool list there. It's PDF form, so all you should be all your computers will have Adobe readers, so you'll be able to print that out no problem. Thanks, Sean. Also, if you guys have any tooling requests, shoot them to Sean or Bud or myself, and we'll see if we can get those tools made and then send out an email so all you guys know that those are available. The third update I had is regarding OEM parts. For years and years and years, one of our biggest things was to try and get OEM parts. We really couldn't. I mean, we can get a Kevo part here, a Kevo part there. We had a couple of odd and end Midwest and Star parts that we could order. But essentially, the OEMs are finally coming around and really opening the doors. The latest one to really open their doors is Midwest. They have granted us ordering capabilities on all of the component parts for the Midwest RDH, all of the component parts for the Rhino XP, all of the component parts for the single-speed shorty, and all of the component parts for the two-speed shorty. And that includes the outer housings. I just got outer housings in the other day for the XP, Rhino XP. Even they have serial numbers engraved in them, or laser welded or whatever they do. So the slow-speed parts availability from the OEM has come around full circle to where we've been trying to talk them into granting us access to those parts, letting them know, well, hey, you know, we're going to put aftermarket parts in the handpieces if you don't sell us the OEM parts. And they finally opened their eyes. A gentleman I was dealing with 5-plus years ago when he invited me out to do a tour of the facility is finally back in that position. He had taken a promotion to a different position. The door kind of got closed on us. He's back in that position. The door's, you know, been swung wide open, and we have access to those parts now. So just to give you an update there, we now have many of those parts on the shelf and the availability to order all of those parts for those hand pieces for you guys. And then the fourth update I wanted to talk to you about is regarding FedEx. As you guys know, FedEx pricing has raised time and time and time again over the last several years. I can remember just probably 6-8 years ago to priority overnight an envelope from here to the East Coast was like $11.68. Now that same package is probably $30 for an envelope. Well, in discussing our rates and our volume availability with you guys, FedEx is going to lower our costs to 40% off of their standard charges. So what we'll do and what I'll do is I'm going to get with FedEx, give them all your guys' name and addresses, and then we're all going to be basically grouped into one group. So all of you as individual franchise owners will be able to take advantage of basically our bulk discounted shipping rates. So I thought that was awesome. Our current shipping discount is 22%, and they're going to lower that to 40%. So we're going to be able to save you guys a considerable amount on FedEx shipments. Not that y'all use FedEx, and not that y'all, you know, do ship stuff overnight, but occasionally you guys do request it or second day or whatever. And so just wanted to give you a heads up that we're going to be able to save a considerable amount on shipping with FedEx moving forward as well. Well, that's all the updates I have, guys. So I guess I'll just kind of open the floor to any questions on any of the stuff I just discussed and or any other kind of open forum items that you guys would like to ask the group.
David, Bill Short.
Yeah.
With regards to the FedEx, is that all FedEx across the board or just overnighted stuff or FedEx Ground 2?
Right now it's all FedEx air freight. So that would be either overnight, second day, or third day FedEx shipping. The ground rates don't apply, but then again, FedEx ground rates are pretty darn low anyway. But yeah, that does affect all of the air shipments, either next day, second day, or 3-day priority.
And David. Hey, Davis Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey.
Another FedEx question. Is that strictly shipments to and from corporate, or would that be something that if we have something that needs to be overnighted or second day to a customer out of town,
yes,
it would just...
That is also included, Bailey. Any shipment that you make anywhere, whether it's to me, another franchise owner, or a customer to and from, will be subject to that 40% discount.
Very good. And will that go straight to you guys and then get billed out on our parts account, or will we be invoiced independently?
You'll be invoiced independently, but we're all going to be linked to one account. So if you're the Dentist Choice of North Carolina, you're linked with, you know, the Dentist Choice corporate office, who's linked to the Dentist Choice Ohio, who's linked to the Dentist Choice in Vancouver, British Columbia. We're all going to be linked into one bulk group rate. So and then you'll be billed individually. You'll all have your own, like you do, many of you have now, you have your own individual account number, but that account number is now going to be entered into that group for that bulk discount rate of 40%. So
will they be doing that automatically, or do we need to provide that to you or to them?
They're going to do it automatically, providing one thing, that your account number is linked to the words, the dentist choice. So if your account number is just Bailey Tucker, you need to call up your FedEx rep or whatever and say, hey, I want it to say the dentist choice, Bailey Tucker.
Okay.
Because that's how they're bulking it. Anybody who's got a FedEx account out there that has the dentist choice name in it is going to be added to this group discount rate. So like I said, if you've got an account name and it's just under Bailey Tucker, they don't have any idea. So you do need to get the dentist choice. But to follow up with you on that, kind of on an offensive, me taking the offensive, I'm meeting with our FedEx rep tomorrow, and we're going to go over the current locations that we have so that she can double-check to see if that location has a FedEx number under the dentist choice and can be included in that bulk discounted rate. If it's not, I'll have a checklist, and if you're not included, I'll call you up and say, hey, Bailey, just to let you know, I had a meeting with our FedEx rep. She did not have you in as a dentist choice, but obviously you'd like to take advantage of that bulk discounted shipping rate of 40%. So anyway, assuming that you do, you'll get your normal bill, and instead of your shipping cost being $100, they'd be closer to like $60, right? However many shipments you do. So they're going to start us off with 40% discount. If we don't meet their quota demands, it'll reduce back at some rate back down, almost all the way back down to our 22% discount rate, depending on volume. But if we hit a certain volume, which she actually said we are fairly close to already, even without the bulk discount, just the corporate office ourselves, so adding you guys in, she said it'll start ticking up a point here and a point there. So depending on our volume, we may get discounts as much as 44 to 50%. So it's a win-win for everybody involved, because really we don't have to do anything different than we're already doing, and they're going to start us at a 40% discounted rate, and then it's up to us. They'll evaluate our volume at 3 months, at 6 months, at 9 months, at a year, and adjust it accordingly. But they're starting us off bang with a 40% discount instead of the 22% discount, and then they're going to monitor our progress moving forward.
And one quick question, Dave. Not to beat a dead horse on the FedEx, but for like second or third day, from your experience, when you're looking at the pricing, how would you say that compares to the typical USPS priority mail pricing for shipping? Is it going to be massively different, or is it going to be a fairly easy bridgeable difference where maybe we can just quit using the post office altogether, where we can get tracking?
Well, I don't think that you'll want to. It's not going to be as cheap as the U.S. Postal Service. We'll just go there right now. Postal Service, U.S. Priority Mailbox is $5.15.
Right.
Okay. So
then you
that's second or third day, right?
Right, but then
second
you got
to third day. Go ahead.
But then you need to insure it if you're going to be shipping anything of value.
Really? How many people insure their packages?
If I ship anything by Postal Service, I'm insuring it just because they've lost too much stuff, and there's no way to track it most of the time unless you pay extra for the tracking too.
Nope, you're wrong there, and maybe you're not aware that they have a click-and-ship feature on U.S. Priority Mail. So if you print the label at home, it has a tracking number.
It's a slightly different cost basis when you do it that way as opposed to just doing straight Priority Mail, because I do the click-and-ship as well.
Okay, gotcha. Well, then there's a tracking number on there, right?
Right, but when you do it from home, you're paying a slightly different price because they're automatically putting that in there, and it's and the price has gone up. It's not that much, but still, you're having to insure everything that you send out just to make sure, because otherwise, there is no coverage whatsoever.
Okay. Well, just to give you some quick numbers, U.S. Priority Mail, which we've been using heavily, probably 70% of the packages that we send out go out U.S. Priority Mail with that tracking number on it. There's been probably 3 packages that were lost, not permanently, but for a period of time of up to a couple of weeks before they finally got to their recipient. But in that 3 years, I don't think one package has ever permanently been lost, and we've probably had maybe 3 or 4 that were just, for whatever reason, delayed. So we've really had some fantastic success with them lately. Yes.
It's Alex. I use the priority quite a bit. The price increase that was about a month ago did go up. Even if you do stamps.com, it went up, but it's still at a reduced rate if you print your own stamps. Now you get the tracking at no charge. It's included. It used to be like an additional 70 cents or 75, whatever. It's now... Actually, it's almost free because, you know, you don't pay that 70 and it's included. And the price I get through stamp.com, it's a commercial rate, which, you know, and sometimes it's 10 cents less, sometimes it's 20, 30 cents less, depending what you're sending.
Uh-huh.
So stamp.com does offer you a commercial rate when you sign up for their membership, which is... $16 a month,
$15.99. Okay, well, so to answer your question, Bailey, it will not be as cheap as U.S. Priority Mail, even with their slight increase recently in postage costs. I think it costs $5.15 to do a click and ship label with U.S. Priority Mail, and I think a second day FedEx package is going to be around. $13 to $14 with our 40% off discount. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think it does.
It does answer my question.
Yeah.
Just once you add the insurance to it, that difference is not wildly different. But
yeah. And I
anyway,
think that's
either way, we got 2 good options, right?
Yeah, because FedEx, you know, if you don't need it in a hurry, if you need it in 2 to 3 days, heck yeah, you use U.S. Priority Mail. If you need it next day or next day afternoon, which many of you will call me just in an emergency situation because some doctor, you know, has a surgery scheduled on Wednesday and it's Monday and you need the thing by Tuesday for sure in the morning. So, you know. That's when you can take advantage of those new discounted rates. I'm not telling you guys, any of you guys, to change anything you're doing as it relates to volume or FedEx shipping. I'm just letting you know that if you do set up an account with FedEx, your own account with FedEx, if you have an account set up with FedEx that for just has your name on it and not the Dentist Choice, put it on there and you'll notice increased discounted billing on your next FedEx bill. And supposedly this is going to start next Monday. So we'll start our discounted rates will come into play starting next Monday. So get that done, and if you haven't, maybe get the Dentist Choice name on your account somewhere by next Monday, and you'll start to see those reduced rates.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
If nothing else, at least we won't be afraid to get overnight shipping on parts that we need in a hurry.
Yeah, exactly. And it's still not free, but, you know, it's going to save you an extra, with their prices, that discount's going to save you an extra probably $5. Maybe
sounds
more,
good.
Depending on how heavy the package is. So, yeah. And those rates can go up depending on our volume. So I said the rates could go up. I meant down, but you got what I meant. Thanks, Bailey. Anybody else questions regarding, you know, the Skype, the OEM parts, the that we have availability to, the tooling, FedEx, or just any other, you know, we've got another 15, 20 minutes here if you guys want to talk about some other related
hey, David,
or unrelated issues. Yeah.
Gord here. Mrs.
Yeah, Gord.
I've got a problem with cable 2931 CHCs.
Okay. What's your problem, Gord?
Well, they seem to be rusting out pretty good.
Uh-huh.
So So I sent them down to be fixed, and then a month or two later, they're coming back to me wanting warranty, and they're all rusted out, but they're done. Just wondering if anybody else has had experience with those handpieces.
Has anybody had experience with Kavo handpieces rusting out? And I can actually tell you, because I've talked to Gord about this already, we have discovered that they weren't using the sterilization pouches, and kind of one of the questions that Gord had asked to me was, has anybody else dealt with that with a customer, and how did they deal with it? So has anybody kind of dealt with that warranty issue?
I'm having a lot of problems with a lot of hand pieces coming back with everything rusted inside. And I don't know if it's just a trend that are somebody's doing or not, but I'm telling all the doctors to use the pouches, as well as never wash them off underneath the faucet, and use just moistened towels to clean them. It's just amazing how many people that are still washing them off underneath the faucet, and or you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast they'll rust, isn't it, Cecil?
Yeah. So anyway, that's and isn't the usage of the bags? It's really to keep the steam out of them. But once they get in there, that's why we've been told to turn the bags with the paper side up all the time to let the steam dissipate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The sterilization pouches are there 100% the reason that they're supposed to use those is to keep the hand pieces from rusting.
Yeah.
You know, the thing's going to heat up to the proper temperature and kill any of the, you know, hepatitis or AIDS or any of those kind of, you know, bacteria or viruses, whether it's in a bag or not. The sterilization pouch was simply developed, well, for two reasons. One, to keep that rust out, and then two, so that when you transport that item throughout the dental office and get it to the delivery system for the doctor to use, it's still in a sterile state, right?
Yeah.
You haven't touched it with dirty hands and everything else moving it around after sterilization. So it kind of has two purposes, but in regards to handpiece safety, it's to keep them from rusting out internally.
Yeah, I guess my question, though, was specifically if anybody's had a problem with the 2931 CHCs.
Kind of a unique item, not one that many guys run into, but
no.
If anyone has, just go ahead and buzz in. But it sounds like some people have had rusting problems, but maybe not particularly with that attachment. So just make sure, guys, that you've got your docs. Anytime you're running into some sort of a handpiece that has any kind of rust in it, chances are they're either rinsing it under the sink before sterilization, or they're sterilizing it, not using the pouches. So be aware of that, and please educate your docs accordingly.
Hey, Dave, it's Harv.
Yeah, Harv.
I would be interested in taking some kind of a survey or getting some kind of a feel on what other franchisees are experiencing regarding doctors that are using statums for sterilization, say, versus a mid-mark or something. Do they notice, you know, shorter life of bearings and so on?
I think that I'll absolutely email out that survey, but I'm hearing call after call from guys, you know, week after week, running into doctors that are using the statums and are running into longevity problems. And as Gord discovered with his doctor, that's having this rust problem, they weren't using the sterilization, and they were using the quick cycle on their statum, Harv. And he had hand pieces last less than 2 months in the field, Harv, and come back rusted and in disrepair. Harv, are you there?
Yeah, somebody's got an unmuted line that's creating a lot of background noise.
Yeah. Hey, who's out there with an unmuted line? Because we can all hear everything. Okay, it seems to have quieted down a bit.
But yes, I heard what you said.
I'll absolutely do that. So, guys, be ready. I'm going to send out a survey, a questionnaire, based on Harv's question there on statins. If you're all experiencing longevity problems and what you've done to kind of communicate with the doc and remedy the situation.
Yeah, thanks.
Because,
I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, and according to, you know, most people who have talked to their offices, Harv, these statin reps, right, the guys that go around and try and sell these things, they tell the docs that they could use the quick cycle on all this stuff. It's amazing. They'll do anything to sell the darn piece of equipment, and once they sell them the piece of equipment and the hand pieces start failing left and right, then it's like, you know, it's us. We're the bad guys who have to come in there and tell them, well, yeah, that's great that you bought that $4,000, $5,000 sterilizer, but, yeah, you have to use the long 30-minute cycle anyway. And
is there anything about the statin that is different other than the rapid heating and cooling? For example, does it produce more steam or moisture than some other brands?
Yeah, I don't believe that it does. It's just a steam sterilization unit, Harv, and it has a cassette as opposed to having trays that fit into like a cylinder-type oven, like an autoclave. It has a tray or a cassette. That cassette is where you put the instruments or hand pieces, and then you slide that into the unit. It's got holes on the top and the bottom, so the steam will pass through the entire cassette evenly. And that doesn't seem to be any different than maybe putting it on a tray in your standard autoclave, other than that it has those quick cycles, Harv. Other than that, it essentially works in the same manner.
Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome.
And Dave, just a follow-up question. You said specifically that the quick cycle on the statin has been linked to longevity problems. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. There is actually a 3 to 6 minute heating and cooling cycle that the folks can utilize on those statins, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is you're heating that handpiece up so fast, and then it actually has starts blowing cool air through there to cool it down very fast so that it helps with the heating there's essentially a quick cooling cycle. And as you know, all the different metals in your handpiece expand and contract at different speeds. Well, the quicker you heat something up, the more gap or the more delay you're going to have between the different metals heating up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just detrimental to the handpiece, as opposed to the longer, kind of more drawn-out heating cycle of a standard autoclave, which heats up so slowly that the handpieces, kind of all the metals kind of expand together over that slow amount of time, and then obviously contract slowly together through the natural cooling of just opening the door 1 inch, which is the factory recommendation. So yeah, that is linked directly to the longevity problems that docs are having with the statin.
David, can you hear me?
Yes.
I had a problem about 2 months ago with a star motor to angle. I was getting bushings, the 60259 bushing.
Uh-huh.
It was looking like it was melted, and
uh-huh.
I thought it was something that was because I had the gears too tight on the ends and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I found out after replacing it twice that their statin was either set too high or it was the way they were doing it, that those bushings were melting while they were in the use of having it in the statin. And I finally told them not to put this particular thing in there again, or I wouldn't warrant it any longer. but it was really, really sort of different. I thought it was because I had different stress on the ends, and it was melting because of just tightness.
Right.
But actually, that bushing was actually melted to the point where it had stopped the rotation of the shaft. And but anyway, that was an interesting thing, and I found that to be this is a sterilizer that they were using to sterilize their hand scalers and so forth. And she was putting these attachments, star attachments, in there. And that bushing was, it gave me fits there for a little bit. I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Well, the statum, I don't know how that would affect it, because simply because the temperature is supposed to be 130, you know, under 135 degrees Celsius, and I believe that the statum will cycle that up to 134, 35 degrees Celsius. It's just that it gets up there quick and cools it down quickly.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I had not heard that before, Cecil. I really hadn't. So maybe there's some sort of a temperature control on the statums. I'm not aware.
It could be wrongly said. I don't know. I just told them that this is not something they want to put in there any longer. But it could very well be they had a problem or an older statum that wasn't set right. But it sure threw me for a loop there for a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, certainly. I mean, because if you have the, obviously, if you have the gears so tight that it's going to heat up that bushing, you wouldn't even think it would turn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. It was, they were just melting in there.
Okay.
David, I have another sterilization question. It's Harv.
Sure.
Regarding the drying cycle, should we recommend that to get rid of that moisture in the handpiece sooner, or does that worsen the rapid heating and cooling problem?
Okay. The drying cycle that you're talking about, is that for the statum?
Yeah, in that case, I'm not sure. I just had
okay. Well, I'll give you the two recommendations. Okay, the statum does have a drying cycle. However, it still not doesn't cool it down to, let's say, touch, right? You're still, they still are, it is still is recommended that they pull that cassette out of the statum and place it on their work surface to let it cool fully. It just, I think what it does is it dries and cools the hand pieces down to where if a hygienist just opens up the tray and grabs the thing, she's not going to burn her damn hand off at 275 degrees. But it is still recommended that they put that cassette on the work surface and let it cool completely. With the autoclaves, it's recommended that they just crack that autoclave door open 1 inch and then allow the hand pieces to cool or the instruments to cool to, you know, to the touch.
So
those are
the
two recommendations.
Should we recommend the drying cycle or not?
In the statum? It's absolutely recommended as long as they use the long cycle, right? I think it's a 29-minute cycle for hand pieces. They've got two. They've got a 15-minute cycle and a 20-minute cycle or 29-minute cycle. So you want to recommend the longest cycle, just period. The longest wrapped cycle. Now that the statum has an automatic drying cycle in there, that's just going to take place whether they want to do it or not. It's just part of that time.
Okay, so how about the mid mark?
Well, the mid mark is just an autoclave, so once with a door, so once again you would just crack the door open an inch and let it cool to the touch. Probably 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Harv.
Hey, Dave.
All right, guys. Well, yeah.
Just one other quick question to follow up on Harvey's question.
Yep.
I've encountered people, particularly with the statum, who, say, on a Friday will throw hand pieces in there, run it, and then leave them in there over the weekend. And I've told them to stop doing that. I've told them to remove them at the end of the drying cycle. And my rationale was that I thought that it was maintaining the handpieces in a moist environment longer than they should be. Am I right?
I do not know the answer to that question, Dave.
Okay.
They do have a drying cycle in them. And if they're using sterilization pouches, they shouldn't be wet inside anyway. So,
okay.
I don't know that that recommendation is good, bad, or otherwise. Sorry.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, we've met the end of the hour. I appreciate all the participation from everyone, Dave and Harv and Gord and Alex and everybody. So thank you all again. And if you haven't done it yet, work on your FedEx account and getting those linked to the Dentist Choice for the additional savings. Talk to you all soon, guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, David.
Andy?
Are you there?